And welcome back to the Sundance Reel. Leslie Thatcher and Beth Fratkin here, also with the directors of the film E.T., Katie Cheveny and Ross Kaufman. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
So I remember the A-Team back with Mr. T in the 1980s. Maybe you should start by telling us what the E-Team is.
Sure. The E-Team actually stands for the Emergencies Team. And the E-Team is the nickname for a group of human rights investigators who do this very intrepid and fascinating investigative work in countries around the world trying to assess whether or not human rights abuses have occurred in various post-conflict zones.
And so the E-Team is part of what, though? I mean, they're...
The E-Team is part of an organization called Human Rights Watch, and they monitor abuses around the world.
Okay. So this is a film. I mean, tell us maybe a little bit about the Human Rights Watch and how you're involved with them, and maybe a little bit about how they get funded.
Sure. This is the first time that Human Rights Watch, which is a very well-known and respected organization around the world, it's the first time they've allowed independent filmmakers access to their work, their behind the scenes of how the human rights investigators do their job. And it's something that a lot of filmmakers have been interested in doing over the years. Ross and I were lucky enough to finally have the privilege of spending lots of time at home and in the field with these four really unique individuals and see what their work is like.
And, you know, it's interesting taking on a film like this because an organization, sometimes they'd be reticent to let independent filmmakers with full creative control make a film that spotlights one part of their organization. And they gave us full creative control. We said, you know, we would show this work, warts and all. And they were up for it, and they were very courageous in letting us have access.
And that's a controversial organization, so.
Controversial, I'm not sure if I'd say controversial, but as any human rights organization has to tread a fine line. Absolutely.
Right. So did you know somebody within the organization? I mean, how did you get access? Lots of other people, you say, wanted it too.
Well, I did a film called Born to Brothels. Came out in 2004 and premiered at Sundance Film Festival. Katie directed a film called Deadline. Also came out in 2004 at the Sundance Film Festival. So we were here 10 years ago. And our films have played at the Human Rights Watch Film Festival. And we were very aware of Human Rights Watch, but also through their film festival.
Yeah, so it was partly through one of the reasons that we think Human Rights Watch felt comfortable taking the plunge and giving this basically trust to Ross and myself is because they knew about our work making documentary films that sensitively handled human rights issues.
And tell me a little bit about human rights again. And so they're funded how? It's a nonprofit organization? Or?
Yeah, it's a nonprofit, but it's really interesting that for us, we're really curious, not so much about the organization, but about the work, really about the work that these particular emergency team members do. And they are so, how do I say, it's funny, you think about a film about human rights would be earnest and, you know, depressing, but this film isn't. And we wanted to stay away from that. We wanted to show our characters for who they were at home and in the field. And it's actually, there's a lot of humor in this film, and I think there's a lot of hope.
Well, for them to do this, they're nuts, right?
I think for documentary filmmakers to do this, we're nuts.
Yeah, we're all sharing in the kind of craziness of that together,
yeah,
for sure.
But they're characters. They're funny. They're extremely intelligent. Nuts, you know, on certain days maybe, but aren't we all? But they are very special individuals, and they do extremely extraordinary work.
So what are they? I mean, are they like Navy SEALs? I mean, what is it that they actually do once they get to where they're trying to document some?
Well, it's interesting because depending on where you come from, you might think what they do is incredibly dangerous. They actually don't see it that way because they don't go in at the time when war journalists go in. They go a beat after that and try to assess whether or not human rights violations occurred. So although people who don't do that kind of work, like yourself, like myself, might look at it and say, oh my goodness, look at the risk they're taking. They're very modest and humble about that, and they really see it as like, this is the best way for us to find out what's really happening in places around the world where the governments have pretty much closed off access to letting outsiders in to see what's going on. So what's particularly interesting about it for us is that you don't really get a chance often to see what's happening behind a CNN news report that maybe somebody calls in from Skype. You know, they just see kind of like a blurry thing on TV for 2 minutes. And thanks to this access, we were able to spend a couple weeks in places like Libya and Syria where the E-team was doing on-the-ground research, going door-to-door, interviewing people, doing meticulous documentation of events that took place to put together a documentation and a story of what actually happened in a particular village at a particular time.
Yeah, and why is it so important to document this stuff?
If these atrocities aren't documented, it gives leaders of countries, it gives anyone the ability to commit these abuses when they're done in darkness, when there's no accountability, it will keep going. This is hopefully a chance for the world and the public to see their work, to see what's actually going on in these places, and it's really up to the public to really push the agendas. But the public needs to know about it before they can push it.
So they're trustworthy third parties.
Correct.
I mean, they are exhaustive in their research. They will not just interview one person about a specific incident. They'll interview 5, 6, 7 people and figure out exactly what happened. They're meticulous. And it's funny when you're saying, they go on a beat after war photographers. I can tell you from being on the ground that there are some dicey situations and dicey moments in this film where it was very dangerous, and you'll see it on the film. And, you know, it's exciting, and they do extremely interesting work, but, you know, sometimes they do get into some pretty, sometimes dangerous situations. But they're very meticulous about their security protocol. But they're on the ground. They're in war zones, and we were in war zones.
And they've got a camera guy with them. Did that jeopardize their work at all?
They're used to having some sort of person on the ground with them, whether it's a photographer or some filmmaker like ourselves. They're actually used to that because that's part of the process of documenting these abuses, taking photos. And Human Rights Watch is interesting. They're different than a lot of organizations. They get, and ourselves excluded, we don't want to, but they get some of the best photographers in the world. And these pictures and the video that they come out with is emotionally powerful, not just documents, but emotionally powerful photos and video, and that helps push their agenda.
Now, did you run the camera at all? I mean, were you guys standing there? I guess the thing is, it's like you knock on the door and you don't know what's behind the door.
It's the story of every moment of every documentary that we shoot. Yeah. But yes, this is a little more intense at times.
Yeah,
yes,
Ross was on the ground in both Libya and Syria as the cameraman and also the sound man, which was incredible.
But Katie and I both shot all around the world at their homes, which was actually almost just as fascinating. When we were spending time at their homes, some of the most incredible conversations, and you get some really interesting insights into who these characters are.
Yeah, I mean, one of the types of films that Ross and I both really enjoy and that we were trying to do with this film was to really give the viewers that kind of behind-the-scenes feeling of, like, I'm not just seeing the news and I'm not just seeing some polished representation of what somebody does, but really I'm getting to see the kind of thing you don't usually get to see unless you know somebody really well. So that was kind of the feeling that we were looking for in terms of what it's like when you watch the film.
Yeah. So tell me about your scariest then incident.
I can't tell you. I can't give away the film.
I will tell you this, though. There's some very dramatic scenes in there that seem quite ho-hum to people who've been doing this for a long time. But if you're seeing it for the first time, it's pretty mind-blowing that cameras were able to be there for it. I mean, for those of us who got to see the footage back in the States, we were blown away. So we're very excited to have that material in the film.
And one of the things that, yes, it's dangerous for them, and it was dangerous for us at times, but the people on the ground, the victims and the witnesses, the people who live in the countries where this is happening, they're the ones who we should care about. They're the ones. And we can't lose focus of that. This is a film that does spotlight these investigators, but it's really the people on the ground who are victims of these abuses that are really in danger.
Such as, can you give us an idea of what the abuses were?
I mean, they
I mean, the main places we filmed in are Syria and Libya. So the kinds of, for example, there's one part of the film that focuses very heavily on the airstrikes that the government of Syria was conducting against its own people, against civilians in Syria. And both Ross and another great camerawoman, Rachel Anderson, were in Syria with Anya and Ula, two members of the E-team, while the airstrikes were going on and while they were going immediately after the fact to try to establish that the government committed these atrocities and to see the extent of the damage that the victims incurred.
And my first day in Libya, we went to a site of a massacre site where 45 prisoners were shot and burned to death.
At the hands of Gaddafi supporters.
Exactly. So... that was a interesting first day of a shoot.
Yeah, I imagine so. Anyway, E-Team, it is part of the U.S. documentary competition. Its first screening happens tomorrow at noon at the Egyptian Theater. The best of luck to you guys.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much.
That's again Katie Chivany and Russ Kaufman with the film E-Team. You're listening to the Sundance Reel here on KPCW.
This is Larry Warren.
And I'm Doug Wells, inviting you to listen Monday mornings at 9 after NPR News to Mountain Money, KPCW's show about making money, spending money, and investing it wisely.
You'll hear from local entrepreneurs and national figures, anyone with a good story to tell about how to survive and thrive in the marketplace.
Mountain Money. We'll keep it simple and useful every Monday at 9.
Brought to you by Park City Realty Group, Mountain West Bank, Park City Chamber Bureau, and Iron Mountain Group.